Hello and welcome to the latest of our preseason previews, this time covering the Montenegrin top flight. And this will be, I think possibly you might be quite glad to hear this or not, I don't know, a somewhat shorter one than we've had for the previews for both Croatia and Slovenia. I think the Serbia one, when that comes probably next week, will be another biggie. Just because, A, there's a lot of sides in it, and two, there's a lot that's been going on over in Serbia over this summer, and, you know, obviously there'll be particularly quite a lot to talk about when it comes to the top four, specifically what's going on at Partizan. But when it comes to Montenegro, there's not as much to talk about. I do think when I look at the comparative strength of the sides this season, this is probably one of the more predictable leagues in the region. I think maybe there's three leagues where you would say that you more or less know who's going to be winning it straight off the bat. I think this is one of them, primarily because of how business has gone this summer. So we'll start with the two questions around the top of the table. It's quite simply, will Budućnost just run away with it all, and have Sucheska lost the players that they needed to challenge? So first things first, it's probably worth talking about the transfer business of Sucheska this summer, because there's been a lot of outgoings, and a lot of those outgoings have been of their major players. You know, obviously Budućnost come into the season having won the title. In terms of their European journey, as it were, they went into the preliminary round of the preliminary tournament, as it is, I suppose, of the Champions League, won their first game fairly comfortably, but then were done 5-0 by Breiðablik. Now, see, losing 5-0 to the Icelandic champions is never good. Breiðablik then went on to actually win their first qualifying round game against Shamrock Rovers. And also they were hosting the tournament as well. So I think you can maybe give that form a little bit more of a pass than you probably did straight after watching that demolition. When it comes to Sucheska, their game, their Conference League qualifying game is against Cosmos, who are of San Marino. They won that 1-0, and they won that quite late on. Which probably gives you an answer as to how, into what sort of state they're looking at, like in pre-season. Now, the reason why is because if you talk about the multiple changes they've had in the squad, we'll just very quickly run through those. Of three major players who've left, Tyrone Conrad, who last season scored a quite ridiculous amount of goals. In his one season in the league, he has scored over 20 goals. It was a really brilliant return. He has gone to Meizu Hakka, who are in the Chinese Super League. So he's taken, quite a big step up, but also quite a big... He's taken a bet on himself to go, and he will obviously get quite a bit of money for doing so, Chinese football being as it is. In addition to Conrad, you have long-time Sucheska midfielder Novica Rakovic, who, again, it was like 8 goals and 18 assists last season from him. He's moved to Omonia in Cyprus, is actually in pre-season done his ACL, so he at least got his bag before having a year-long injury. And finally, Wadi Thiele, who the Tunisian winger, who's just left on a free. That essentially is a lot of their attacking lineup that's gone. And, you know, they're going to be very reliant on young players. I mean, you know, obviously, in budgetary perspectives, they tend to be quite reliant on young players anyway, but more so than usual in the, in those key positions. You know, the only attacker they have in the squad over 21 is Bozo Markovic, who's, you know, probably now at this stage in his career, second in the pecking order behind Vuk Strikovic. And for Strikovic, he's learning his trade. He definitely needs the supply. They don't really necessarily have enough in terms of supply. It's quite hard to come up with an argument as to why they will be as close as they were last season. You know, it was a very tight race with Budućnost to the end. You know, at the end of the season, they were as reigning champions, but, you know, they were split only by the head-to-head points between each other. Because really, you know, of the goal contributions that you had there, you know, you talk about scoring 75 goals last season. Of the players they've lost, you probably talking about involvement in at least half of those. And they haven't been replaced to date, anyway. You know, you look at the players that they brought in; they are all from within Montenegro. They are all also defensively minded. Yeah, so they've not replaced what they've lost. It's, I say, you know, so as the question was, you know, have they lost the players they needed to challenge? Probably. Which then puts you on to, can Budućnost simply just maintain? Can they stand still and win the title? And the answer is probably yes. You sort of look at the losses they've had. You know, Marko Simic, 36 centre-back, he's gone to Soceska. I always sort of think if you're just happy with your older players going to your main competitors, then either you don't rate them very highly or you don't rate your competitors very highly. In terms of the major losses, Vasilije Terzic going to Bačka Banja Luka from the midfield, Zoran Petrovic going to Petrol, and also Filip Nestović. And they're sort of attacking players, all three of those, but they've been replaced. Petrovic / Nezovic have been replaced by Stefano Almeida coming in from Zlaté Moravce in the Slovakian leagues. You look at his record in previous seasons, you know, he was a full part of their Champions League campaign. But, you know, obviously he's coming from a stronger league and was getting decent game time in Slovakia. Immediately, you know, that's going to suggest that he's probably a little way above this league. Another incoming from Slovakia has been Stanko Čeklić, coming in from Mihalovce in the centre of midfield. And there's not really too much to say about this one because it is quite clearly stronger than everyone else. You know, they have, maybe if you're trying to make an argument against them, they don't have much in the way of numbers at the back, but the numbers that they do have are players I like. You know, Uroš Ignjatović, Andrija Raznatović are two very good fullbacks who are kind of similar to Iraković was at Soceska, a level above this particular league, because this particular league is at a very low level. Otherwise, it's quite difficult to make an argument as to why they wouldn't win the title this season, if I'm entirely honest with you. Because every other side has to make 20 points up on those two. You had Arsenal Tivat and Deši Tuzi were the two sides in third and fourth on 50 points, say 20 behind the top two. Arsenal was very much a surprise that they were able to do so well this time, last time around. And you've seen a couple of players move up the way. Most specifically, Ivan Bulatovic, the striker, has gone to Lokomotiv Zagreb. Also had a couple of loans in Marko Binovic from Partizan, as an example, who obviously gone back to their former club, and they're obviously not really in a position to pay as much as established, more established top flight sides can. When you look at their incomings, they're not bad, but again, they've been shopping domestically. Dusan Pulitic, probably the most known of those, coming in from Leotar Trebinje in Bosnia as keeper, which is a positive get, but you know, you're obviously getting from the lower end of the Bosnian Premier League. The others coming in are, yeah, all domestic. Probably the most interesting is Amy Nishimura, who was at Com for the back end of last season. He moved there directly from Japan, and saw him in the be fairly impressive actually in the relegation playoff last season. It's quite difficult to know exactly how his form is going to translate at this slightly higher level. But, you know, Japanese players generally do have quite a good record in Montenegro. And, you know, there's certainly nothing to suggest that he won't have a part to play this time around. You know, when you look at his Japanese university form, it's 10 goals in 19 appearances. And that's it's a level at which we've seen players do well at this level before, if that sentence makes sense. Say otherwise, you know, they're very much just cribbing from other sides in the league. Again, you know, they have a lot to make up on Buzhnev and Sucheska. I think it's probably going to be certainly more the case that Sucheska will come back to them rather than they will reach up and, you know, reach up for the sun and bring it back. Because it's quite difficult to say that you're going to be a really good, sustained top flight side when really all your business has been plucking players from second tier sides. You know, Nishimura obviously being one of them, Andre Golub coming in from Kabalia, Alexander Mikanovic from Bukelia, Darko Nikac, who comes from relegated Iskra, and Luka Maras again from FK Bogorica. Now they have again made their seasonal debut, and it was quite an impressive one, I have to say. Going away to Alashkert in Armenia, managing to get a 1-1 draw there, which is, bearing in mind the comparative size of the two sides and knowing the comparative quality of the two leagues, you know, that is a very impressive result. The goal there came in from Julian Montenegro. Still my favourite player in the favourite named player in the entirety of Montenegro. So hopefully they can deliver that, because so the coefficient does need a win to try and get Montenegro out of those preliminaries and back into the main tournament, the main qualifying rounds straight away. We will see certainly with that in the Conference League very soon, but yes, again, you are ultimately comparing every side in this league to Budućnost, and they aren't as strong, quite simply. As for the other side, it would be natural to mention would be Dečić. I asked him whether they can be best of the rest. And they brought a name back, should we say, Christian Vulaj, who managed to get himself capped for Montenegro while at Dečić originally, moved at the start of last season to Vlasnia in Albania, didn't really make any appearances. I think in the entire season, he only showed up for under 300 minutes, which was a surprise. Because I certainly, you know, a couple of seasons ago, from my own scouting experience and having a chat with people, you know, they were looking for a decent amount of money for him. I think it was about $250,000 that they wanted for him. And so to see him go to Albania and immediately just struggle and be back in Dečić in the space of 12 months is quite surprising, and you know, really bringing his own ambitions, I think, back to earth. But you look at his record in the top flight, you know, you can't really debate it. 25 goals, 145 appearances, lots of assists, very skillful winger. And he will be a very important player for Dečić this season. Of that, you can have absolutely no doubt. In terms of the rest of their business, I mean, obviously, Vlaj is the most known player coming in there, but also worth noting is a couple of players picked up from within the league. Igor Nikic, who was a goalkeeper at Arsenal. And they've also got Kaké, who comes in from Petrovac. Again, a very solid midfielder at this level. So again, you're sort of looking at, in terms of them making the difference, you're really looking at Vlaj being the one to do that. They have lost a few players as well. Marco Tucci at the back, going to Gangwon in South Korea. Eyon Vukai going to Flamatari, Dusan Markovic going to Ethnikos in Cyprus. But you know, I think that there's enough for them. If you were making the comparison, if you have this sort of a league of 2-2s, you would certainly have Budućnost over Sucheska. I think you would have Dečić over Arsenal as well. I think really you purely putting that based on bringing back Vlaj. I say, I mean, he's an absolutely fantastic player at this level. We've seen it plenty of times before. And, you know, even with the season away, I don't think there's enough reason from that alone to doubt that he will come back and reproduce something similar to his old form. We then sort of go into the remainder of the morass that is the Montenegrin league. I think it's quite a difficult one really to go through, because you know, as some of you heard me say on this podcast before, you know, it is such a poor league. If we talk about the bottom end of it, really, you know, I think Mornar are a side who have issues, quite obviously, because you know, they had Fatos Beşiktaş there last season. He's now retired, but you look at his goals in the playoffs last season, you know, he was able to make a real difference against Berane. And his quality at this level was never doubted, even, you know, in his mid-30s. I think that's an obvious side where I'm looking at as a problem. You sort of look at who they've brought in as well. It's very much been focused on very young players, and some bets that they need to pay off, rather than necessarily it being a side that's strong. You sort of look at the players who played in that playoff. Obviously, Fatos Beşiktaş, we've mentioned, has already left. Rodney Michael left as well. So that is problematic for me to look at it. You also have to point out that a lot of these sides are financially iffy. That's not a great criticism of them. That's just the nature of it being a very small market. Rudar, Pavlija have been circling the drain for quite a long time. They have lost a few players that have come through. Again, Gastovic going to Budućnost. Then you also have Danin Talevic, who's gone to Doroy Bishkek. So that's Bishkek is Kyrgyzstan. So yes, again, I wonder how much oil money he's getting there. But you look at, again, where they've brought their sides in. They're picking up sides from relegated Iskra. They're picking up sides from the second tier. That's not promising. In terms of the promoted Mladost Donja Gorica, because every league needs a Gorica. So we have Gorica in Slovenia, we have Gorica in Croatia, we have Gorica in Montenegro too as well now. And they have focused on really just adding numbers, adding a bit of experience in Nous. Probably the most notable player coming in, Zurab Gigashvili, comes in from Telavi in Georgia. Alsa Postosiak coming in from Arsenal Tivat. Players who are adding a bit of experience, a bit of Nous at this level. If we very quickly, because we've only not mentioned three sides. Jedinstvo have only strengthened their side, but sort of similar as to what we said about Molnar, they brought in very young players. Armin Bosniak, the one player who's got plenty of experience that they've brought in. He's good get, a very solid player at this particular level. But, again, you're probably talking about maybe moving them up to be, I would say, probably not challenging Arsenal and Dečić, even though they're only 3 points off them last season. There was a massive difference in goal difference between Jedinstvo and the remainder of the sides. I think you're probably talking about it, maybe getting them a couple more points and hopefully getting to that 50-point barrier. But I think Arsenal and Dečić will be looking a bit above that. For Petrovac, ends up have managed to always put together a competitive side. I think there was certainly a couple of seasons where they were really, you expect them to be relegated. They certainly shouldn't have any concerns overly that's their future this season. You sort of look at the players that have gone, really, they've all been replaced, and they've all been replaced like for like as well. In terms of players who've come back to the club from loan and players who've just come in from outside, they've picked up, unlike Arsenal, unlike a couple of sides we mentioned, they've not picked up their signings from the second tier. They've brought in top flight experience. Zaka Popovic coming in from Iskra, Rado Steric from Jesero, Danilo Bakic from Arsenal, Marko Koric from Iskra. I think one of the things that's also quite unsettling, maybe, to the league is that Iskra, having been relegated last season, Iskra were not a side many people would have expected to be relegated. They were in a couple of issues, but, traditionally they're one of the larger sides in the league. It's sort of like Hearts getting relegated in Scotland, I suppose. It does happen, and when it happens, you sort of point out reasons as to why it happens, but it's not necessarily something you directly expect. It's something that happens for external factors. Finally, Jezero sort of followed the regular thing of picking up players from lower tiers, whereas they've had a couple of players move on. They're probably the only side outside of the playoff spots last season where you actually look at them and think, okay, you've actually definitely gotten worse. So worse enough to be in trouble. The main signing coming in is Facundo Aranda, who comes in from Sportivo Peñarol in Argentina, just maybe because it's quite an interesting player to get. Not one you necessarily expect to be turning up. He has sort of played quite a bit in the state leagues there. But I mean, we'll very much see whether he is up to scratch or not. It is, with Montenegro, it's quite difficult to really talk too much about it. Hence, probably why a lot of the focus of this episode has been on the business in and out. I hesitate to describe it as Sunday League, but I do think, if you go to the Tower Hamlets or Hackney in London, where you've got the big Hackney Marshes, I think you have these loads of pitches and it's the best Sunday leagues in the UK. I think you would probably go there and see a higher standard of football than you would in some Montenegrin games. It's also, the coverage of it is very poor. You can't get, really, unless you've got your Y Scout or something like that, access to watch any footage. The only thing I've found that's free is there's a Polish guy who does commentary in Polish over the highlights. But even then, it's not a proper highlights package. What you often find with Montenegro is the highlights are just what they put on the news. It's like, here's a goal, and you can see the little ticker on the bottom telling you what's going on in Podgorica next week. So yes, you know, Montenegrin football coverage is, you know, it's very poor, and there's no doubt about that. And I think this season is going to be very predictable. I struggle to find an argument against Budućnost just because of the amount of quality that Sucheska have lost. And so if you compare the European results, you know, Sucheska beating struggling to beat a San Marinese side at home compared to Arsenal going to Armenia and getting a draw. You know, one's a very creditable result. One is an efficient result, sure, but, you know, let's not say it's impressive. God. So yes, that is the Montenegrin CFL for this upcoming season, 23-24. We'll, as with the others, we'll run you through the first round of fixtures. And it's the first round of fixtures that is so incredibly high profile that Transfermarkt haven't even bothered to put them on the site. But we have Jezero hosting Sucheska, Dečić hosting Jedinstvo, Rudar Plevlija hosting Arsenal Tivat, Mladost Donegrica hosting Budućnost, and Petrovac hosting Mornar. So at least it is quite an interesting opening week in terms of you having the three top sides all playing away from home. It provides a little bit of a challenge. But we will see as the season goes on how we go. As I say, next time it will be Serbia. The Serbian preview, that, who knows really how long that one will be. Longer than this, I can assure you. We've also got the Bosnian Premier League, which is due to start the 28th as well. The Kosovo one, I don't think we have a date on. North Macedonian League, I won't be doing a preview on, purely because, say, I think as I've said on here, it's the league in the region I follow the least. I don't feel that I'd really be able to provide anything of use on it. If we're entirely honest, so in which case I don't bother. But yes, that is all of our leagues starting this coming weekend, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, dealt with. We will have more next week. We will definitely have Bosnia. We might have Serbia. It depends on what CAS come back with. If you've not listened to the reason why we don't really know when the Serbian preview might be, there's a special half an hour long a couple of episodes ago you can have a listen to fully appraise yourself on that. But it leaves me only to say thank you very much for taking the time to listen. Sharing is caring. If there's anyone you think would enjoy this, please do let them know via social media. If you've enjoyed it, also do leave a review on your chosen podcast service or on Spotify, click follow. We have a few hundred on there, which is good, I suppose, metrics and stuff. But otherwise, thank you very much for taking the time to listen, and I will catch you next time.